Hey, this is Leo for actualize.org, and in this video, what I want to talk about is bad relationships. All right, let's talk about bad relationships. Why do you keep getting into a bad relationship, and how can you prevent that cycle from continuing? So we want to dig deep into what causes bad relationships and why you seem to keep stumbling into them. Now, what I'm talking about here is specifically bad intimate relationships, right? Dysfunctional intimate relationships, whether it's a marriage or long-term girlfriend-boyfriend situation, or even a short-term girlfriend-boyfriend situation. So let's take a look at some of the distinctions that are necessary to really get your head around this and to prevent this from happening again. The most important distinction, and I believe this is coming from Stephen Covey, I can't quite remember, is the distinction between codependent, independent, and interdependent relationships. See, codependency is the problem here. This is where you are at if you have problems with your relationship and you keep getting bad relationships, is that you're probably in this codependency frame. Now, let's go through and talk about each one of them and show you how they evolve one into the next. So first, what you've got is you've got codependency. Codependency means that you have two people that are coming together and they're leaning on each other for support. And what they're doing here is they're using each other as emotional crutches. Now, they'll justify it to themselves as love or as companionship or something good, but in fact, what's happening there is that each one has a void that they're trying to fill in each other's lives, and so they're trying to prop each other up. And that creates a dysfunctional dynamic. The next level up from that, and it's a pretty big level up, is independent. Independent means that you have one confident, grounded individual, and then a second one who's also confident and grounded, and they come together, and they have an independent relationship. They don't really synergize. It's simply just independence, and you know they're sharing some stuff together, but it's not really the synergistic relationship. And then you have the interdependent relationship. This is the next level up, and this is the highest level that you get to. This is where two come together, and then they perform almost like a choreographed ballet, where they start moving in sync, and a synergy effect happens, and really something awesome flourishes that's greater than the sum of its parts. So of course, everyone wants this, right? We all want this. But most of us in our relationships are here. We're in the codependency frame, and we don't like to admit it as well. In fact, right now I'm saying codependency, and when I'm telling you that, you might think, oh, codependency, that means like what? I'm enabling my partner or my spouse or my girlfriend or my boyfriend to be involved with crime or drugs or something like that. That's like a very extreme example of codependency. Codependency simply means, like I said, that you two are dependent on each other. That's all it means. You're dependent. That means that you cannot stand and be happy by yourself, and so is the case with the other person. So you guys can't be independently happy, but you can be happy together. So what this does is it creates a temporary stability. And it seems like the stability is nice because you get into a relationship and it's like, yes, it's going pretty well because that person is providing you with something, you're providing that person with something, and you both seem to be sort of fulfilled. But it's a deceptive stability, and it never really lasts, and it also leads to a lot of toxic and bad stuff. And I really see this with people, is that they get themselves involved with these toxic relationships, and then they can't get out of them. It's like this giant pit, this giant like sand pit that they get trapped in, and they can't get out, and they're stuck in quicksand. And then this leads to just like horrible things. I mean, it leads to verbal abuse. It can lead to physical abuse, arguments. It leads to all sorts of needy behavior, just all sorts of dysfunction. And when you are stuck in a relationship like that, it's almost impossible to thrive in life. It's impossible for you to become self-actualized because that other person is holding you back, and really you are holding yourself back because you are choosing to be in this relationship. Now let's take a look at why this is going on. The reason this is happening is because there are deep personality flaws within both individuals in this relationship, and these individuals are not willing to address these flaws. So the solution here is ultimately, as with most things in life, is to look within, not without. The problem is in you. Now, this is especially tricky with relationships because when you have a dysfunctional relationship, our mind will trick us and it will point the finger at the other person. And we will blame the other person. We will say that we are being victimized and the other person is doing something wrong. Now, it doesn't mean that the other person isn't doing something wrong. All I'm saying to you is that you have to take responsibility for your own relationship and the fact that you're allowing this to continue and that you're in there in the first place, right? This is the only way that it can work. You have to take full responsibility for your bad relationship. Otherwise, you're going to get stuck. You're going to get stuck and the pattern is going to keep repeating. Again, why? Because there's this flaw in you. Your psyche has a gap in it, a void, and you need to fill that void with something, and that other person is doing it for you. That's why you're hooked. You're addicted to that other person, and so you keep coming back even though you know that this relationship is not healthy. See, most couples in a codependent relationship, I mean, they're not stupid. They're not totally blind. They understand. Their higher self knows that this is a dysfunctional situation, but they keep going and going and going just like a drug addict would with a drug addiction. He also knows it's not healthy, but he keeps doing it simply because he's stuck in a rut and now he has this chemical dependency, right? He needs something. That drug is giving him some sort of hit of stimulation. It's hard to break free of that. Well, that's literally what's going on with this codependency in your relationship. Now, let's take a look at what are some of these gaps that you could have in your own psyche. See, once you get honest with yourself, once you really get fed up with this recurring pattern of bad relationships, then you're going to tell yourself, okay, what can I really do to take responsibility? Once you're at that point, then you have to ask yourself, okay, what is the real void that I'm trying to fill? Why am I so needy? And that usually comes down to one of these five things. I would say it's this. One is money. Two is sex. Three is love. Four is companionship. And five is support. Emotional support or other forms of support. So one of these things generally is going to be the cause of your neediness and your codependency. So you need something from the other person. It might be love, it might be sex, it might be money. It doesn't really matter what it is. You might think that what you want and what you need is very noble. You might say, well, love is a very noble quality. Love is maybe the highest value in my life. I really need love. That's very important to me. That's fine, except what you're doing is you are desperately seeking love. And you're so desperate for love that you're literally willing to endure anything to get it. And that's exactly what happens, is that you endure anything. And you endure a bad relationship, and you endure a person abusing you in some way, and you endure arguments, and you endure all sorts of turmoil, and you endure all sorts of things that you really shouldn't be enduring because you don't have a boundary set and you're not independent. See, you can still want love when you're independent. It's just that when you're independent, you don't really need love. You want it, but if you don't get it, it's okay. You're willing to like wait until a good opportunity arises. When you're desperate, you'll do anything for love, including really stupid things. And that can lead to a very disastrous situation in your own life. So if you see that you have this kind of gap where you really need something, then you have to start to address this. Because I can guarantee you that this gap, it's not going to go away just because you change relationships. So even if you're thinking of getting out of this current relationship that you're in, and you're saying to yourself, well, this guy or this girl, he's an asshole, or she's a bitch, and this is never going to work out with them, but you know what? It's all their fault, so I'm just going to go, and I'm going to find somebody nice, and I'm going to have this dream life with my dream partner. We're going to get married, or whatever our situation is going to be, and we're going to have a family, and everything's going to go beautifully. Well, newsflash, that's not going to happen to you because you are the cause of your own relationship problems, not the other person. So you have to also bite this bullet and admit it, right? It can take some real serious pain and a history of bad relationships to finally come to the point where you're saying to yourself, okay, fine, it really must be me now. It really must be me. It can't be the other person. That's a trick that my brain is playing on me. So once you go through that and you come out and you say, okay, fine, it's me, then it's like, okay, what are the real sticking points that I have? And it's one of these gaps. So once you identify one of these gaps, let's say that your gap is love. You have to look back and see, where is this gap really coming from? Usually what you'll find is that this gap is coming from the past, from childhood or early adulthood. And the reason that is that when you were growing up, probably what happened is that you weren't maybe getting enough love. Maybe your parents got divorced when you were young. Maybe some sort of traumatic situations happened, or for some reason you have some sort of self-esteem issues or insecurities, and you feel now that you're deficient in some way, and you need something to come in there and fill in that void. And what you've been doing your whole life, especially in your dating life and your intimate relationships, is that you've been looking for the man or the woman who's going to fill that void, and really what you were looking for is an external solution to an internal problem. and you never really want to turn around and take a look inside yourself to see, okay, what is the internal problem? See, the problem is that when you find an external solution to an internal problem, then you're even more dependent on it. Because what happens when that person goes away? What happens when that person leaves on a trip? What happens if that person decides to leave you? What happens if that person stays late for work and can't join you for dinner? See, what's going to happen is that you're going to get resentful. You're going to get mad. You're going to feel like that person is taking away that thing that you're propping yourself up on, right? You're leaning on that person. The person might move away, and now you need to chase. So this is creating this needy dynamic, and it's really not good. And the point here is that you have to look back and kind of trace from the past where this came up. The nice thing about doing that trace is that it gets you more awareness, more consciousness, so that you're not acting as unconsciously in the future in your relationship. That'll get you a little bit more distance so that you could do whatever needs to be done to start to correct this situation. See, the problem is that if you are this needy person, you're codependent, and you go and you think that you're going to go into some other relationship and things are going to be better there, then actually you're really kidding yourself. And in fact, here's the dynamic that's going to happen. You have really three people that you could run into. You can run into another codependent person. So let's say you're codependent and you run into another codependent person. Well, that's going to be the same type of relationship that you already got, right? A codependent person can only really stay in a relationship with another codependent person. Here's why. You might think like, well, what if I go find myself a nice independent guy or a nice independent girl? Wouldn't that solve my problem? No, because here's what's going to happen. The independent person is going to be here. You're going to come in as the dependent needy person, and you're going to want something from that person, from the independent one. And what's going to happen is that you're going to like start leaning and leaning and leaning, and you're going to be putting this independent person into a codependent frame. But this independent person really will only have two choices. Either he or she can choose to fall into codependency, which is a lower state of consciousness. And most independent people will never want to do this. So what happens is if you do that, he'll just leave you, or she will leave you, or something will happen. There'll be a lot of tension there. Or the other thing that might happen is that that person actually does. You end up successfully converting him into a codependent frame, and now that person is in a codependent frame with you, and basically you're back to where you started from. And there's a lot of tension and turmoil going on there. So in either of those cases, it's a lose-lose. It's not going to work. A codependent person is never going to be able to stay in a relationship with an independent person. There's going to be too much clashing going on. So that's the case there. And you might be asking, well, what about the interdependent? Well, interdependence is really just independence of two people and then them deciding to do a really nice choreography together. There's no way in hell there's going to be any kind of choreography going on with you because you're codependent. You're too needy to think about that. You just need your needs desperately met. And the independent person, he doesn't want to be with you. So this is what's going to happen is that there's not going to be a choreography. There's going to be a lot of tension, and then it's going to break up. So no interdependence will happen as well. So I hope you can like understand the severity of this problem. Now, this is not meant to depress you. This is meant to be real, right? This is meant to be a sobering truth. Because once you realize this, it's actually empowering. Now you can say, okay, I am pretty low. I'm kind of at ground zero. But now I do see that there's a way to work my way up. It'll take some time. It'll take some work, inner work, outer work, maybe breaking up a relationship. But then you can see that there is a path forward. You can move out of codependency into independency. Once you're independent, then you can start to have nice relationships. Okay, so how do you know now if your relationship is actually codependent or not? And how do you know if it's time to break it off or not? Because ultimately, my solution to you is if you're in a codependent relationship, then you've got to break it off. I know you don't want to. That's not what you want to hear because you love that other person. You're addicted to that other person. And you don't want to really admit that, and it can be hard to actually follow through on that. You might even admit it to yourself logically, but then you won't actually have the courage to break it off with another person. Or maybe you break it off, but then you get back together. Well, you need to make a clean cut when you see that codependency is there. If you don't, then you're just going to be slowing yourself down in life, and the toxicity is going to be building up more and more and more, and there's nothing that's going to come in there and magically fix it for you. So the solution there is to break it off. Now, how do you know when this is right to do? Well, here's a little guideline that I'm going to give you. Actually, a researcher, Dr. John Gottman, he has a very amazing book called The Seven Principles That Make Marriage Work. And there he talks about some of the research that he's done on couples. And what he did is he's one of the foremost researchers on couples and successful relationships. And what he does is he gets people, couples, to come into his lab, and he literally observes them through a two-way mirror. And as he's doing this, he'll look and he'll see, he'll take notes, and he'll try to find patterns. And he'll ask himself, you know, what are the successful relationships, and what are the dysfunctional relationships, and what are the different factors that are involved there? And he actually distilled everything down to a very simple little guideline that you can use to evaluate a relationship. And what he found is the following, is that a happy, successful relationship that has a chance of actually continuing on the long run, that is a relationship that has a ratio of 5 to 1 of positive to negative interactions. 5 to 1 ratio. That means for every 5 good things that happen in a relationship, 1 bad thing happens. Now, with dysfunctional relationships, relationships that will never stay together, there the ratio is lower than 5 to 1. It's either 4 to 1, or 3 to 1, or 2 to 1, or even 1 to 1. So imagine this, one good thing happens, and then 1 bad thing happens. For every 1 good thing, 1 bad thing. If your relationship like that, it's severely, severely dysfunctional. In fact, this little metric works so well, this rule of thumb, that John Gottman will use it in his lab, and he says that he has a 95% accuracy rate of predicting whether a couple will stay together or not successfully just by observing them for 5 or 10 minutes. Because he can already see in the way they're interacting, the looks they're giving each other, the smiles or frowns, the things they say to each other, he can already detect from within that where are the positives and where are the negatives. So it's very easy. When a couple is standing there and talking to each other for 10 minutes, you'll see how many negative looks do they give each other? How many positive looks? How many like loving looks? How much positive conversation is going on versus negative? How many fights are there relative to all the good stuff that's supposed to be happening in a relationship? Well, you calculate that, you tally it up, and then you can clearly see. So use this on yourself now. Ask yourself, really, how many positive to negative interactions there are in your relationship. And if it's lower than 5 to 1, then you need to really consider cutting it off. And if it's something really low, like I would say a 3 or a 2 or a 1 to 1, then you definitely need to cut that off. That's going to be the solution for you. Now, you don't really want to hear that, of course, but you know what? Sometimes you got to endure a little bit of pain to grow yourself and to move on to the next stage. So when you break it off, you have to break it off cold. Make sure you don't come back to that person. And then you have to be by yourself. Now, this period where you're going to be by yourself, it might seem like you're going to be lonely, you're going to be depressed, or you're going to be sad. Actually, what's going to happen is that you're going to get over that person, and you're going to grow to a new level. And when you exert that sort of decisiveness, and when you have the courage to leave somebody like that, who you know is not right for you, then that actually builds a lot of strength within you. Then when you're going to be off on your own, you're going to have time to reflect, to ruminate, to really introspect, to do this tracing back activity, to find out what are the real codependency problems within you that's causing this pattern. Because it's probably not the first time this has happened, right? So you're gonna find those out. You're going to really work on those, maybe through therapy, through coaching, or through your own journaling, or whatever process you want to use. You're going to work that out. And then once you work that out, then you can get into a new relationship, and there you have a chance now. Because when you become independent, then you can find another independent person, and together you have a chance to do something either independent together or even interdependent together, and really make a nice, beautiful relationship the way it's supposed to be, right? Loving, happy, that's the way a relationship should be. There should not be toxicity and negativity and fighting, and certainly no form of abuse. So if you've got any of that stuff, then those are clear signs that you need to start to change stuff up. All right, so this is Leo. This is how to deal with bad relationships. All right, post me your comments down below. Like this video as well. If you like this, please click the like button right now so other people can see it. And also share it too. Throw it on Facebook or wherever you like to share stuff so your friends can see it and we can get more people into good relationships. And finally, what I'm going to do is I'm going to direct you to actualize.org and specifically signing up to my newsletter. My newsletter, I'm releasing it every single week with new updates, new articles, exclusive content just for my subscribers, a lot of new stuff that I'm creating all the time. I'm actively doing research. And what I'm researching is how to get you the mindsets, the strategies, and the techniques that you need to build an extraordinary life. I know that you imagine a powerful life for yourself, a life where you have everything that you want. Your relationships are handled, your money and finances are handled, You've got an amazing career. You've got passion. You've got energy. How do you actually do that? See, I've spent the last 5 years of my life really working on this personally because I've had all these struggles that I had to iron out. And what I learned is that you have to really work on your mindsets, just like we're working on your mindsets here with this codependency. So if you want to know more about that and you want to stay on track, then that's what I'm here for, is to keep you on track, keep you accountable for your own goals so that you're achieving those dreams that you want, because it's so easy to fall off track, right? All right, so go and sign up and then you will be all set.